This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Thursday, my Friday, but I will be working tomorrow, just not here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And not a Cracker Barrel either. That poor guy from Fox News has been outside that Cracker Barrel in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, all day because he was on America's Newsroom and Martha McCallum just talked to him, too. So he's been reporting from outside the Cracker Barrel in Mount Laurel literally the entire day today. So amazing. But anyway, welcome back. Glad you're here. Very happy to welcome back to the show the author of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Dr. Wilfred Riley. Of course, on Twitter at Will_Da_Beast630. What's up, my man?
Not much. Good to be back on the show.
There's a lot of outrage over Cracker Barrel's rebranding of their logo. I don't really quite get the outrage, though. I'm not really quite sure why people are so upset. I know there's a lot of people saying it's kind of DEI-ish. I don't really see it, though.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of buddies of mine, both white guys and black guys, saying, you know, ha ha, they took, you know, the Caucasian guy and the barrel off the logo. What are they doing? It's just it's a sign that says Cracker Barrel or CB, just in brown on yellow. This, to me, kind of from a business perspective, what you're seeing is the conflict between people with sort of these management degrees from like lower Ivy League schools, mostly female, and the brands that they're supposed to represent but probably hate. So, like, you and I have had whole shows where we've kind of made fun of, you know, Bud Light picked the Bud Light Girl of the Year and it was a man, like, ha, ha, ha. But someone actually had to make that ha, ha, ha decision and say, oh, who doesn't love trans women? You know, so that's a thing that went on. I mean, Target agreed to do a Pride Month push with some other retailer, and they were selling, quote-unquote, tucking panties for little kids. So this has gone on and on. I mean, Harley Davidson did an ad. I forget what that even involved, but, you know, major backlash against them. Jaguar did an ad that didn't have the Jaguar. I mean, the classic Mercedes competitor in it. It was, like, mostly black women in purple clown suits dancing.
Yeah.
So this is something that we've seen over and over and over again. Like, the branding for Jaguar would be like an Englishman, you know, for some reason holding a scotch in his hand while he's driving or something. You know, Cracker Barrel, it's like Mama and Papa's store, but upscale. So they just stack a country CDs by the door next to a rack of oversized sweatshirts. So, I mean, this again is just they hired a marketing firm. The person who was in charge of that, like VP level, designed this campaign where they're like making everything smooth and sleek, like the hose on the wall and all that are now in like picture frames. I mean, so we'll see if it works. I think it's going to backlash terribly, like most people do.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess somebody made a good point, which is that they're kind of late to the minimalism trend that's been going on with logos because everybody wants nostalgia now. And I was reading the other day that sunscreen, they're bringing back the fake coconut flavor the smell, the fake coconut smell of sunscreen, which makes me happy. Because when I was a kid, I used to love that. And it smells like vacation in a bottle. You know, they got rid of it, though, apparently, because I guess people wanted healthier options. But now they're bringing it back, the fake banana smell and the fake coconut smell. And nostalgia is all the rage. So for Cracker Barrel to do it now, when you're literally getting rid of the nostalgia in your logo at a time when people want nostalgia, not a good look.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just for each of these brands, you have to know your audience. And I mean, the Cracker Barrel audience, when I think it's not even one ethnic group, but kind of after church, mostly conservative, mostly Southern, you know, are they going to prefer a place that looks like an old country store or a place that looks like a fake upscale restaurant designed by a marketing team? And with a lot of this, you can see why people like what they like. Like, everyone remembers the smell of sunscreen because they went to the lake with their girlfriend their junior year.
Yeah.
So you want those things that bring back the memories of the good past to some extent. That's kind of what you're selling. That's what branding is. Branding is the idea that you're not just drinking sugar water fizz when you're drinking Coke. You're drinking the South or whatever. And forgetting that and making every business look pretty much the same is a really, really bad idea.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I didn't understand the outrage from the woke DEI perspective, because it's not Bud Light. I mean, the barrel isn't identifying as a tree or something. You know, it's not like that. It's not like a trans thing or anything. But from the perspective of the marketing aspect of this, of taking away the character and making it look very bland, as you explain it now I get it from that perspective. Like, it looks like everything else, in other words.
Yeah, I think that. So there are two things that people complain a lot about with the sort of modern marketing. One is quote unquote woke. Like, what does this have to do with politics? Why did Bud Light, which is a beer company for frat boys that sells, you know, horrible yellow colored water, why did they have to, you know, make a statement about LGBT rights? That's part of the backlash, I think. But another part of it just is there are set brands that, whether or not all people like them, the customers of a company usually like, that you associate with Harley Davidson or whatever. And if you start trying to market Harley Davidson to upper middle class women, you're probably going to change the thing that makes the base of a motorcycle company want to ride motorcycles.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with just embracing your audience. Like, if you're a motorcycle company, most people who are buying your product are going to be tough men between 20 and 50. And that's fine. You don't have to start selling pink motorbikes.
No, and Lisa Schneiderfeld, who was the VP of marketing for Anheuser-Busch, did not like the audience. She hated him. She said, we got to get away from this white frat guy kind of thing. I mean, she literally did not like the consumer base. When you don't like your customer base, you're doomed to fail. It would be like as if Subaru tomorrow decided they were going to stop going for white, college-educated, liberal women listening to NPR. You know what I mean?
That's a very polite way of describing who buys the Subaru Outback there, Rich. I mean, yeah, they definitely are women, almost entirely, mostly Caucasian. But yeah, I guess we're kind of saying the same thing. There's nothing wrong with having a branding preference. Subaru, in fact, would be a very good company to do sort of a gay rights ad, because it would fit extremely well with their base. With Harley Davidson, I don't even think most bikers necessarily are sexually unadventurous. It's just sort of, why the hell is this in the motorcycle commercial? How fast does the bike go? So, I mean, you see stuff like that from time to time. I mean, there are a limited number of sponsors NASCAR is going to have and so on. And I think companies should sort of wise up and realize this. That would be my take.
All right. Would you like to hear the cracker from Cracker Barrel speaking out after being pushed out of his job? This is going everywhere on the internet. You might have heard this. The Cracker Barrel logo speaking out. Dr. Wilfred Riley. This is courtesy of, I believe the person who put this together is known as Ace Vane on X.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello. I'm the cracker from Cracker Barrel. And y'all know I sat on that damn logo for 48 damn years. Longer than a snake deep throat in the giraffe neck. Then overnight, you got this diverse, evil, ignorant, or DEI group of people taking over our marketing, talking about we need a rebrand. Then poof, I'm going faster than a black man driving through Alabama. How you gonna rebrand without debrand? I'm the reason people come to Cracker Barrel. How you gonna have a place called Cracker Barrel without a cracker leaning on a barrel? I mean, what's next, America? A black female Popeye's manager that doesn't fight her customers. Cracker Barrel needs a cracker and a barrel. And I'm the coldest cracker son of a bitch to ever lean on a barrel this side of a Mississippi.
Very good. Very funny. Well, you know, at least you can have fun with these things, right, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty entertaining. I mean, I think he insulted probably half of the major ethnic groups with that. Yeah, it's the whole point, though, like, that, I mean, that was the joke online that I censored a little bit earlier. Like, man, they got rid of the cracker and the barrel. So there's obviously the whole theme is that Cracker Barrel is a Southern-themed, post-church, down-home kind of restaurant that serves breakfast and catfish. You know, it's targeted at a working to middle-class audience. The guy, the old guy, is modeled on an actual farmer they bought like their second store for. So I think when you say, well, this is the disconnect. The marketing manager comes in and says, well, people overall find that corny. We've done a focus group. That might be true, but people overall aren't the people that are driving the church van to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, keep the guy, keep the barrel. It sounds good to me. And again, like the Popeyes joke, like it is funny, but like Popeyes is a working class Southern black and white brand. Like that's why they're making fun of their managers. For Popeyes to put in, would it even be candles on the tables or something? I mean, it would just be a foolish rebranding move that would get a lot of candles broken. Just accept that you sell fried chicken in the South and sell fried chicken in the South. That's not the classiest business you can go into.
No. Look, I mean, I hear you. All right, let's switch gears away from food and over to slavery, if we could. Because I don't know how to do a transition. I'll just say it like that. So obviously the president is concerned that our museums, as some of them, are putting too much emphasis on all the negativity of our nation's past and not enough on the obstacles we've overcome, the future, and our greatness. And you have a lot in the media coming out and saying this is the whitewashing of history and comparing it once again to the Nazis, which is getting increasingly tiring. But how do you see it as the author of the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me?
Well, this is actually a great place to plug the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, chapter one.
I did.
Yeah. I took the ball from you, ran with it. Chapter one, the real history of slavery. But no, I mean, I think there actually is an important point here, because a lot of people that have been watching mainstream kind of liberal media, what they think is happening is that Trump is putting in exhibitions arguing that slavery was good. And there actually is some history of that in the USA, although not much. I mean, there were schools in Alabama and Mississippi used to teach the lost cause narrative, which is that, you know, slaves were extremely happy on the plantation and the Confederate generals were a good, non-corrupt bunch of guys. And then for some reason, one day the War of Northern Aggression began. And I think that's kind of a running joke for a reason. Like, that's not very realistic. But that's also not what Trump is doing. What Trump is saying is that if we're going to teach about world historical events, we can't say nonsense that's racist against white people either or discriminatory against Americans. When you talk about slavery, it's extremely important that slavery existed in literally every country in the history of the world. I mean, that's the one stop there. Like, if you're going to have an exhibit on slavery, it should include African slavery, the Arab slave trade, Russian serfdom. We almost forget that. But in Eastern Europe, I mean, the peasants were, you know, bought and sold until like 1900. You know, so you should talk about this practice. How do you think the pyramids got built? Modern construction equipment? You should have an entire discussion of this historical practice. You know, to some extent, is it wrong to take battle captives that have tried to kill you and make them work for free? Well, yeah, we now think it is. Okay, why? But this is when that practice began in Mesopotamia. This is when it ended. Mostly white people ended it, although, of course, there were black Union soldiers. So that's what the argument is. You need to have a realistic discussion about history. The discussion that we're having about history right now, like the 1619 Project model, is as crazy in its way as the Lost Cause narrative was. I mean, 40% of American high school students believe white people invented slavery. And that's a racial blood libel. That's just not true. And it's a stupid thing to say about 70% of our countrymen.
keep going.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you should, everything should be presented realistically. I've said this, and I think this is one of my kind of serious scholarly contributions, actually, but what you see with a lot of left-wing moral critique is people taking modern morality, things that we haven't even fully settled, like are men and women equal in every aspect of life, but taking that modern morality and applying it backward in history to a time when people in some ways were much more honorable, you know, 8% of young women today are on OnlyFans, whatever that platform is, but in some ways were much less honorable. Like if you lost a war, you were going to spend 23 years improving your agricultural skills. You know, so you're taking modern positions and you're putting them on an entirely different society and you're saying, well, they fail. Of course they fail. Mm-hmm. We would fail by their standards. You know, what percentage of men are noble knights who have killed an enemy? What percentage of people have only had their spouse as a partner? What percentage of people go to church 3 times a week? I'm not even saying all this is good, but if you took the Puritan English standard, which worked quite well, helped establish this country, and judged us by that, we would all fail dramatically. I would myself. So we're doing this, we're doing it in reverse. And the last point, I guess, would be that we're only doing it to Western white countries. So no one is going into Zulu land and asking what their level of feminism was.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is a major state, you know, challenged the Brits to a big war. But the idea is that somehow, because they resemble a group that has suffered in America, you know, these great conquerors don't get the same analysis as, you know, much smaller European polities. Anyway, I basically agree with Trump that we need to fix that and we need to dispassionately look at real history. The Native Americans were great warriors and also sometimes savage kings. They were great poets, but they also didn't have a written language in most tribes and so on down the line.
One of the observations that I had when I was at Independence Hall recently with my niece and my son, and this was before Trump became president, so it was right around the time of the inauguration, that when you're told the story of slavery, you're kind of left with the idea that there was slavery and then the Civil War happened and then there wasn't slavery anymore. And you're kind of left with this idea that it just kind of ended without really mentions of the abolitionists and all the white people that died in the Civil War and all the white people that were against slavery. And it's almost like that's left out of it. And so you could easily walk away from that believing that there was this giant race war that occurred. If you didn't know any better, you'd think this giant race war occurred and that somehow after that it just ended. And it really falls so short of telling the very complex story of how we got there. I don't think we teach the Three-Fifths Compromise the right way. In fact, I mean, you can't even discuss that in polite society in many places without getting canceled because people scream, "What are you saying? I'm only three-fifths of a person?"
Yeah, the Three-Fifths Compromise actually is another chapter of the book, and it's something that's touched on in the book, Lies
What
My
book?
Liberal Teacher Told Me.
What book?
Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me.
Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Yes, that book.
But although I'm a capitalist, I think I've promoted myself enough. There are a lot of other good conservative history books that have pointed this out. The first person I saw make this point actually was Dinesh D'Souza back when he was doing more quantitative research in the 80s and 90s. But I mean, the correct take on the Three-Fifths Compromise is that it was the anti-slavery position.
Correct.
So, yeah, during...
I'm not telling you correct, like you didn't know that, but... Here I am educating Dr. Wilfred Riley on the Three-Fifths Compromise.
You learn something new every day, you know. But during this period, the period really of the founding, because this is in the actual written Constitution, this goes back to the beginning, the Southern slave masters wanted to count slaves as a full person. And the reason for that is we're seeing with illegal immigration right now, which has a lot of parallels, is that popular representation in Congress, at least the House of Representatives, is based wholly on population. So if you had a plantation with 2 free men and 50 slaves on it, you're going to dramatically boost your state's congressional representation by counting all these people that can't vote. And the abolitionists in the North said, no, that's crazy. Free blacks, of course, and Indians that are living in American society, they can vote. But people that are living in teepees on the prairie or that you're oppressing because they lost the war, like they don't have rights. They can't be counted. And so in the Constitution itself, slaves count as 3/5 of a person. There's also a line that refers to white indentured servants. Those do count as people. And they very specifically say, like, natives not living in towns don't count as anything. So all this was discussed in detail. And the people that wanted, you know, black men to count as a full man were slavers.
Yeah.
The ideal position from an African-American standpoint would have been that slaves counted as nothing, which would have given the union, what became the union, enormous dominance in Congress.
Right. Exactly. Because as we talk about apportionment of seats right now, this is very relevant for that point. They wanted to stack the deck in the South with more seats in the House of Representatives, with more electoral votes. And yeah, that was the game. And that's why they came up with the 3/5 compromise. But it's not taught that way. And a lot of the abolitionists, it's as if there were no abolitionists and they just weren't around. The concept didn't exist until like the 1960s or something like that. And that's the part of our history that really frustrates me. It's like we had the original sin of slavery, and then we had the Civil War, and then we had, you know, Dr. King getting beaten on a bridge. And it's like there's all this other stuff that took place in between all that, with a lot of white people helping to helping with the cause. And to Trump's point about that, that gets lost. And if you bury all that, then, yeah, it's very easy to write the script that America is this horrible, racist country. And the people that have that agenda to do that are the people that want to destroy our Constitution. Because if the Constitution was written by nothing but a bunch of racists who were all about white supremacy, then how can you follow that document? You can't. So then you have to rip it up and start over. And then they can run wild because now you have no Constitution. You destroy the guardrails. And many of the people have the same goal, which, of course, is the destruction of capitalism for socialism. So, you know, you see what their goal here is. And it really is to make people believe that it's not just simply America's original sin. It's that America was born in this, and it's all we represent. And it's so frustrating. But that's why when they were talking about removing statues of Confederate generals, and I said back then, it's not about the generals. They're aiming for the founding fathers here. They're aiming for all the people that had anything to do with the founding of this country, because if you topple them, then you topple the Constitution. I think that's always been their ultimate goal here.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, so one of my points overall when I write is that history is a complex and sort of amoral reality. Like, you know, I think a lot of things we say today are correct, although we're a little too soft, but no one historically had the same set of moral systems we do. And what you see isn't like the good guys and the bad guys. There are a few exceptions. I would put Hitler in that box, for example. But what you see normally throughout history is just people that have reasonable goals, like the white incomers in America wanted to spread out and have their families safe and farm. And the Native Americans wanted to keep, you know, X percentage of or all of their land. And so there was a big war that lasted for hundreds of years. And just understanding that almost from a scientific perspective, without trying to brand anyone, and this is mostly what we do with whites today, as evil, is really important. But I mean, like, getting to the point with slavery, the bluntest way I've ever heard this was from a buddy of mine who's a black preacher who said, you know, we didn't free ourselves. Like, this, there wasn't a slave revolt that led to emancipation in the United States. The right. Union Army, which was 2 million men strong, I mean, 600,000 were killed on both sides across the war, but marched into the South and beat the Southerners, who had a pretty terrible cause, but who were also fighting for their homes, their wives. There was a lot of abuse during the war. That's what freed the slaves. And so, to really discuss this, I mean, you'd have to discuss why the North fought, why the South fought. You'd have to mention the 600,000 almost entirely brave men who died. And then you'd have to go, there's a whole thing with the abolition of slavery, actually, where mostly white European descent governments decided to end slavery around the world. So, like, at one point, the British Navy actually sailed around the world, like, blockading slave trading ports, you know, firing cannons into cities until the global slave trade stopped, or at least dramatically slowed down. And they did this despite the opposition of people that were trading slaves. Like, delegations from the major African countries, which were pretty civilized, at least in the sense of building cities, went to London and tried to convince the British to let the slave trade keep going. And that's another kind of aspect of history that you're almost never going to hear in sort of a mainstream public lecture in a school.
So I have this book idea that I want to write. Maybe we could write it together. And that is I want to call it the unbroken line. And it's how there's been an unbroken line of progressivism from the Confederate States of America to Woodrow Wilson and his progressives, which, of course, were the socialists. They changed the name to what was his name? Roosevelt to FDR to Lyndon Johnson to Barack Obama and to now to like Mandami and everybody else that the party's never flipped. And we've talked about this before, that progressivism has always been with the Democrat Party. It's always been at the center of it because the CSA had a lot of progressive ideals. Slavery had a lot of progressive ideals. And truly, that has been an unbroken line. There have been exceptions to it, like John F. Kennedy and Bill Clinton and, you know, a couple others here and there. But for the most part, it's been an unbroken line of progressivism going all the way back to the Confederate States of America. Would that be a good book?
I think it's a serious opinion. I think it's a marketable book. I think that a lot of people would definitely read it. I'd love to see it, possibly contribute to it. But I think there's a deeper idea that goes alongside progressivism here. There's a moral theorist, I forget his name, might be Aristotle, but who argues that there are basically two kinds of morality. There's what he calls yeoman morality, where the good thing is becoming good at things, becoming virtuous and like doing stuff yourself. And then there's master-slave morality, which is a little more complicated. I'm not going to go into the whole essay, but the basic point is that other people should be expected to work for you. You know, there are a whole bunch of things like the highest good is empathy on the left-wing side of this, which I think is crazy. But when you look at everything you just mentioned, from the Confederacy to modern socialism, the idea is that you are the superior people with the right ideas, and you have a right to take from other people to fund your ideas, to support what you want to do. And the opposition to that has always been kind of the individualistic yeoman perspective. And when we talk about this, we get into what government's really about. Right. I mean, like there are incidental issues like abortion and so on, which are very important. But the core issue of government is how much money and military labor can you take from your citizens and kind of redistribute? How much is it OK to take from people that produce to give to people that consume? And slavery is the ultimate example of that. I mean, you've won a war usually with another society and you make people from that other society go work in the fields and grow the crops and do pretty much everything while you sit on the porch sipping mint juleps. So that I would agree that that's bad. And that basic idea every so often, every 20, 30 years has to be burned out of society. I have correct ideas and other people should work for me and pay me to try to get those ideas into practice.
Yeah. That it's exactly right. And that my ideas are the only right ideas. And if you don't agree with my ideas, we'll whip you or in some cases kill you and starve you or whatever else, because our ideas have to dominate the society.
Yeah, no, I think there's some distinctions between the groups we're talking about here. Like, I mean, I think slave masters definitely have, by definition, master morality. And I think some of them feel like they really do have, they're the master race, they have the right to rule. I also think that a lot of people bluntly would be comfortable having slaves. Like another society usually tries to kill you, you prevent them, and now they have to work for a while. Yeah. I think if you polled college-age males about this, like 40 to 50% of them would be totally cool with this, and you'd have to explain, well, this leads to all kind of rage and to revolt, so you can't do it. So I don't know if everyone there really has a passionate moral belief. I think with the left-wing socialists, though, they definitely do. So, like, the old line is, you know, a conservative you disagree with thinks you're stupid. And we kind of do, right? Like, we think these moral philosophies won't work. That's the practical problem the yeoman has with this. Like, if you talk about something like rent control or national health care, that actually sounds good. It doesn't sound immoral. The issue is, well, we can look at the British NHS, and there are these people dying during pregnancy because there's a shortage of doctors. It doesn't work. The socialist, the person on the left side, thinks that the conservative is evil because they think their goofy ideas will work. So to them, like you, I, every other normal business person is the person that's stopping like an African kid from being fed so they don't starve. And if you start saying things like, well, the problem is if you give money to these countries, the warlords who are in power just take it and the kid dies anyway. The reaction is just visceral anger. Like, don't we have to at least try? And the answer to that, I think, is no. Right. Like, we don't have to spend a lot of money on stuff that's not going to work because you think it sounds good.
Like,
no,
you said,
we can't, to counter the Barack Obama slogan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like you said, empathy, the high quality of the left. All right, Dr. Riley, that was fun, and always enjoy our time together. We won't be able to do it for a couple weeks since I'm going away, and I know the school's starting for you, but I look forward to our next chat. So in the meantime, get the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, and have a good rest of your summer, my friend.
All right, thanks. Always love coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Speaking of commie nutbags, Mamdani, I got a clip of him talking about $30 an hour minimum wage. We'll get into that as well. The big story that Donald Trump, President Trump, crushing it with the New York State Appellate Court ruling today. Letitia James, bad day for her. And a huge revelation by Kash Patel about what your government was doing. Same with Tulsi Gabbard as well. We'll get into all of that with you as we continue. But let's talk about your health for a moment, shall we? Say you need to undergo complex dental surgery. I'm talking the whole nine yards, right? Implants, crowns. Are you really going to just trust any old pop-up dental chain, or do you want the best of the best? When it comes to complex dental surgery, for over 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been recognized by his peers as a master of complex dental implants, dental surgery, dental procedures. See, Dr. Mike treats other doctors. The experts call Dr. Mike the expert. You want a dentist who actually cares about your health. That's Dr. Mike Veneria. See, with him, it's not about cost. It's about care. His commitment, his compassion, his level of expertise, that's what separates him from the rest. It's why Dr. Mike is the dentist of my entire family. So when it comes to your health, including your dental health, this is not the time to cut corners. It is not the time. You want the best and only the best. So make your appointment to see him today and get a free dental implant consultation. If you already had an estimate for one, get a second opinion. Just go to VenariaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. All right? Dr. Mike Veneria, my dentist, my friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Friday. So, Kash Patel had a lot to say, and so did Tulsi Gabbard, FBI Director Kash Patel, talking about Biden's raid on Mar-a-Lago and how there was no legal basis for it. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Schedule your free implant consultation today by calling Dr. Mike. What are you waiting for? If you already had an implant consultation, get a second opinion. VeneriaDental.com. The level of care and expertise is second to none. VeneriaDental.com. Here is FBI Director Kash Patel talking with Larry Kudlow, cut number five.
As far as you can go. Another question. Why was Mar-a-Lago invaded? What were they looking for? This is speculation. No one knows to this day. I mean, it happened several years ago. We'll probably be talking about this for years ahead. The subject of Russiagate came up at the Alaska meeting of the two leaders, Russia and the United States, Putin and Trump. What were they doing there, Cash? Does anybody have any idea? Why was the FBI? What was the FBI looking for?
Creating a crime where one did not exist. The answer has been definitive. There was no crime. Mm. There was no predicate to go and invade Donald Trump's home. We have answered that definitively. Now, you know me, working backwards from that point, we are going to hold people accountable who weaponized that system of justice for the following reason. We, the FBI, must restore accountability and credibility to the American public so we can arrest more top 10 predators, so we can go after more terrorists, so we can find the other people involved in Abbey Gate. These are the cases that matter to the FBI, and the distractions, to put it mildly, from the prior leadership regime are what thwarted the American public's belief and credibility in the FBI. And so when they do raids like Mar-a-Lago, now the American public knows it was made up. It was completely false. It was completely unconstitutional pursuant to our judicial courts. And we are working into those matters to say, why did you do it? We know there was no reason. Now it's time for accountability. And that's who we're talking to. And by the way, Larry, I'd like to.
Now, if you think about it, our theory has always been, obviously, that this was done because they wanted to retrieve files relating to Crossfire Hurricane. You link that to Russia. Now you've got your grand jury. You impaddle that grand jury in Florida. Now you bypass a potential D.C. jury. You bypass D.C. judges. And boom, you've also got this now in a court of a very, very great judge in Florida, too. So that works. And we can have some justice here. That makes me very, very happy. Tulsi Gabbard was discussing what her office was doing. And part of it was censoring the American people. So a big part of what the leftist regimes have always tried to do is to control speech, to control ideas, and to make sure that you only hear what the government wants you to hear. And remember, it doesn't just violate your First Amendment rights for you to not be able to say something. It also violates your First Amendment rights when you can't hear another point of view. Because as you are in the proverbial public square, you're supposed to hear competing ideas so that you can form your own opinion and your conclusion. If you can't hear both sides of an argument or eight sides of an argument, because the government only wants you to hear one side of an argument, then that is a violation of your First Amendment rights as well. But the extent of this and what she's discovering here is really shocking. Cut number six.
Director, we're seeing that you got rid of the foreign malign influencer center. Well, first of all, what was that? And did they resist?
Well, here's what's interesting, Jesse, is this was created under the Biden administration, and ultimately it has been used, and this is documented, there's documented evidence of this, is that it was essentially used as a means to censor Americans' free speech, calling it, hey, you're spreading disinformation. This center was going and working with different social media companies, saying, well, this is disinformation or misinformation. We have to censor these dissenting voices who are being critical of the then Biden administration. So that's one example of some of the others, once again, who are not only not conducting our core national security mission, but actually existing as a means to politicize intelligence and, in this case, censor free speech of Americans, which is in direct contradiction and undermining of our fundamental constitutional rights.
Awful. Absolutely awful that this took place. No question about it. Absolutely insane. But this is the Biden administration. I mean, the same people that went after moms at school board meetings. So it's no surprise there. It really is no surprise whatsoever. And Ian Sams, who was a White House spokesperson who worked with Biden. And relentlessly, I mean, relentlessly during the campaign, defended Biden's mental fitness. There were probably, I mean, there were two people who defended Biden's mental fitness the most, Joe Scarborough and Ian Sams. Of course, Joe Scarborough, who would famously say, and if you don't think this is the best version of Biden, and Ian Sams. Well, Chairman James Comer said that Ian Sams testified to his committee, the House Oversight Committee, that he only dealt with Biden two times. That's right. Two times. Cut one.
With Ian Sams, a former aide of former President Biden. Let's listen in.
Did Joe Biden tell you this? Did Joe Biden send you an email himself? Well, no. So it raises serious concerns and serious questions about who was calling the shots in the White House. If the White House spokesperson is being shielded from the President of the United States, who was operating the Oval Office? I mean, this is what this whole investigation is about. That auto pen was used excessively, and yet no one can say for certain that Joe Biden was given the orders to use the auto pen. And if you're using the auto pen to sign one document and Joe Biden's in the White House 75% of the time when the document's used, why not have Joe Biden sign the document right there? Why have to go through all the bureaucracy of using the auto pen? I mean, this was a huge interview today, and I think it contradicts everything that the former Biden people are saying with respect to the president's mental fitness. There were very few people that were around Joe Biden, especially at the end. And that's when the majority of the pardons and executive orders were signed with that auto pen. I mean, I can't state this enough. I want to say this one more time so everyone understands. Ian Sams, who was the White House spokesperson for a significant amount of Joe Biden's time as president, interacted with him two times. So, you know, we're going to continue to bring people in.
Uno dos.
And again, this person, Ian Sams, is the one that would counter everything Robert Hur, or anytime anyone would suggest that Joe Biden wasn't mentally fit, he would say, no, he's at the top of his game. Every time he tweeted out several times, he gave interviews on MSNBC. Every time I've interacted with the president, he was sharp. He asked great questions. In there, under oath, he interacted with the president two times, the entire time. The entire time he worked in the White House.
See that? Twice. Uno, dos. That's it. In other words, Ian Sams, like Joe Scarborough, was lying. But everybody was around Joe Biden's mental fitness, obviously, as we all know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Oh, ooh, I wonder if this works.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Yes, it does. How about this?
I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun.
You know, the rest of that clip is where he gets creepy and the kids would rub his legs. You remember that?
Unfortunately. Oh.
And the kids would come over and rub his hairy legs. You remember he talked about that? Ooh. And that was before he had dementia. He would say that in public. I had hairy legs. The kids come over and rub my hairy legs at the pool. Ugh. Disgusting. And people voted for that. How about this confession from Nancy Pelosi's daughter? Does this work?
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
See? Told you she's a vampire. Vampiric one. That's her daughter. Hmm? See that? Okay. Just saying. Oh, so Trump's going on a ride-along tonight? Look at that.
Supposedly. That should be pretty cool.
This is him on the Todd Starnes show? That's a thing?
I've never heard of it, but evidently a popular show. He's got a lot of followers on social media.
Well, it's funny because Todd Starnes used to be on 12 to 3 on Fox News Radio and then was replaced by Jimmy Failla in 2020.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then he launched his own. I mean, good for him. He's a nice guy. I met him once. He's a very nice guy. He launched his own syndication network after that.
He must be popular.
Well, he's got the president on.
Yeah, they don't just allow the president to interview with anybody. And like I said, he's got a bunch of followers on X. So
good for him. That's great. I'm happy for him. So he had the president on today, and the president said he's doing a ride-along tonight. Cut three.
And I'm going to be going out tonight. I'm going to keep it a secret.
But I'm going to go, you're the only one that knows, you and your lots of listeners. You have a great show. You have a very successful show, by the way, in case you haven't heard that. But I'm going to be going out
he
tonight.
He says that to all the hosts,
the,
with
the
really
police,
does.
With the and with the military, of course. So we're going to do a job. The National Guard is great. They've done a fantastic job.
Sorry, I kind of cut him off there. But he says that to all the hosts. You just say that to all the hosts. Ugh. DEA Administrator Terry Cole says, because we secured the border, well, we will see a decrease in fentanyl poisonings this year in the United States of America. Let's hope so. That would be great news. Cut number seven.
Thanks to President Trump securing the border, we are going to see a decrease in poisonings this year in the United States. I think due to his efforts with Mexico, we are seeing a willingness for them to cooperate at record levels with the United States and our personnel. And I think together we can continue to save as many American lives as possible. The 330 million Americans expect the Drug Enforcement Administration, our men and women, to be on the streets every single day conducting enforcement operations to save American lives.
Matt! Do you have cuffs on you?
No, Matt!
Get over here.
Talk to me.
Yo.
Don't talk to me.
All right. You're about to get dropped.
Yo, don't talk to me. Nah. Don't.
Get over here.
What are you doing?
You know, the podcast yesterday that you put out and the title of it, this annoys me because you put out, let me just see this here. You said Murphy, where is it? Let me find this. Hang on. What did you title it?
Hang on. I can pull it up.
Here.
Wait a second.
Newsom is a fraud. King Murphy references Jaws. He didn't.
He did reference Jaws.
No, he botched it.
He botched the name of the town, but he did say Jaws.
But you should have said he botched Jaws, right, Justin? Don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, it should have been a botched reference
Thank
to Jaws.
You. Were you concussed at the time he did it? Huh?
Well, no, I wasn't concussed. There's a limited amount of space I have for those titles.
Yeah, botch is actually less letters than references. Murphy references Jaws. Who writes like that?
I don't know, but it got a lot of downloads, so it did something right.
How do you know? You can't even see the friggin' stats. How do you know?
No, I can see the individual podcast stats.
How are we doing?
We're doing very well. And that was our best performing podcast yesterday.
Good. Excellent. Soon it might be the only way to listen, so you better start telling them. What? I didn't say that out loud.
We do great on the podcast feed.
Good. Might be the only way to listen. Well. What? What? Okay, and then we have, I got to play Ma'am Donnie, but I should take a break because we got to take a break. But we'll do that. We'll come back. Ma'am Donnie.
If you want, you can sneak it in real quick.
All right, I'll sneak it in. I've been teasing it. Why not? This is a $30 minimum wage. What could possibly go wrong here? Many New York hotel owners have been saying this will destroy their hotels. Now, everywhere they've tried $15 minimum wage, it has been an absolute failure. So why not double it? Make it $30 an hour. Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Cut 15.
For a $30 minimum wage, what would your response be to hotel owners who say that this would increase operational cost and lead to more layoffs like the ones that you're rallying against today?
You know, we see the fact that this is not about being able to make ends meet for this hotel. This is about trying to screw workers out and having even more of a profit than they already do.
Where did they try $15 minimum wage, Matt Sanis? Where was it?
Well, I know Seattle, they up to the minimum wage. I don't remember what the exact number was, but there was a whole bunch of studies that the people that were making minimum wage actually ended up losing money in the long run because they ended up receiving fewer hours. Then a lot of them had to go get a second job that paid minimum wage because of the hours dip.
It sounds great in theory. but it doesn't work in real life. It leads to kiosks and robots and less employees is what it leads to.
Oh, for sure. And keep in mind, when Seattle raised the minimum wage, technology wasn't what it is today. So
right.
I would think that you're just going to lose those positions entirely. It won't be a diminishment in terms of the number of hours. It'll just be the job doesn't exist any longer.
The new trend now with hotels is you don't even – there's no front desk person. You just check in. It's all digital. And there's you don't even deal, which I love, by the way, because I can't stand people anyway. So, I mean, you don't even deal with a person. You just it's right on your phone. You check in and use your room, your thingy and your thing and the thing that opens up the door on the phone right there.
It's very convenient.
Very convenient. And guess what? It doesn't cost them anything because it's there's no person involved. It's you walk into McDonald's nowadays, you order on a kiosk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many self-checkout lanes and supermarkets and also Wawa, same thing. And now they have the, at Smashburger, that creepy robot that comes over and gives you the food. My kids love that thing.
Those minimum wage jobs are important, too, because that's a nice way to build a resume for someone who didn't go to college. If you're fresh out of high school, that's probably the first job you're going to be able to get. And, you know, people don't typically work the same position within McDonald's, for example, for their entire lives. They progress to like a managerial position, or maybe they go to another restaurant to work where they get a raise. So the entry level position.
Or in the case of Trump, you become president.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went from fry cook to president in like 3 months.
Drive through to president. Anyone can do it. All right. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead. But yeah, I can just go right to that.
Yes.
Okay. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.